Today's scripture reading, continuing from Luke 4, verses 9 through 13. You can see it on the screen behind me. Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.'" Jesus answered him, "It is said, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. Help these words lead us closer to you.
Testing God. For the past few weeks, we have examined the devil's tempting of Jesus in the wilderness. Holy water, holy words, the enemy has challenged the transformative power of baptism, the boundaries of deity as it does not extend to the devil. And now the adversary tries one last time to lower the standards of the kingdom of God. Jesus will not do what is expedient or convenient. He will not seek power, but receive it from God. Jesus is not the Son of God because he is a showman, but because of his sacrifice. As we will see with the final temptation, Jesus didn't come to be saved, but to save. During this Lenten season, Eugene Peterson rightly poses the question we must ask ourselves. The popularized acronym WWJD, What Would Jesus Do, is not quite accurate. The question must be, how does Jesus do it? Each time Jesus uses scripture to win the argument and the war over his flesh while in the devil's playing field. It is in the detailing of this story that we witness the importance of scripture and putting Jesus on higher ground. We clearly see that these holy words are not stuck on paper, but stuck in between Jesus's teeth and can be picked out to pin the devil down. Satan has not met his match or his equal, because he is no match and has nothing to say that would equal or rival that of the Word of God. Don't play with God. This was one of the first theological statements made to me as a child. It was said as a matter of fact. There was no wiggle room, no instances wherein I could bend or change the rule. It was a non-negotiable and spoke to the way in which God was to be handled and God's name was to be treated. While today persons throw it around as if flimsy and lightweight, the name of God was quite heavy, and conversations involving God weighty. The name of God was not simply tossed around or used in meaningless banter. We did not swear to God that we did not eat the last of the ice cream. We did not offer up God's name as proof of our blamelessness in simple and temporal matters. No, we were told as children, don't play with God. It was said in a tone different from the norm. There was a reverence, a seriousness that came with this instruction because there were just some things that we could not and should not do. And reducing the name of God to everyday language, being careless with the holy, was one of them. Don't play with God. God is not to be toyed with, shelved with all the other things that entertain us. God did not exist for our amusement. While God has a funny bone, God was not to be used as a punchline. And one's belief in God was certainly not a joke. In fact, my grandparents believed that both young and old should sit still and keep quiet during thunderstorms because God was doing God's work. Lightning, thunder, and rain. Some of y'all got the same grandparents. Lightning, thunder, and rain were a call to meditation and reflection. I watched my grandparents line up my mother and all her siblings and all their children. We would sit on the couch and we could not move, and you better not say anything. Televisions were turned off. Mirrors were covered up. I don't know why. Phones were not answered. Bodies were stilled for the fear of God, because they believed that God would strike you dead. Seemingly silly and superstitious now, it instilled in me reverence and the rhythm for which the holy work of God was acknowledged. I understood my place then and now. We were all reminded of the creative power of God and the limits of our own. Like the writer of Ecclesiastes, there was a time to keep silence, be still, and know that God is God. Likewise, we were instructed as children to not use the Lord's name in vain. Now Jesus' name is used as an expression of disappointment, excitement, surprise, and even substituted as a cuss word. We call on the name of Jesus, but we're really not talking to him. We use his name like it is any other, as if we have forgotten that he is the Son of God. This is the devil's line of questioning. He is playing with God, testing to see if Jesus is certain of who he is, if you are the Son of God. The devil is not the Son of God, but he is full of opinions about what Jesus should be able to do, and they have nothing to do with salvation. He would make a terrible friend. Maybe you have one of them. She or he knows exactly what you should be doing, and they have an opinion about everything that you haven't done. They're always testing you and never satisfied with what you do. They ask you to do things that are of no interest to you, as if you need to prove yourself to them. They are not satisfied with your success, and while they are not as accomplished, they always feel the need to tell you that they feel that you should be doing more. Yeah, that you can handle more. They tie your ability to your identity, and they always have a plan. Don't look at them right now. Don't look at them right now. They say things like, see what you need to do is. Once you're finished with this, you can. And now that you've gotten that out of the way, what you really need to do is. But they have never done it. And probably never will. Worse still, what they suggest has nothing to do with your purpose. Like the devil in the wilderness with Jesus, they will encourage you to jump, to leap off tall buildings just to prove yourself to them. But we don't need to be superheroes, because we have a Savior. Yes. Those who travel with capes and look for phone booths are trying to play God. Jesus has been tested by the devil for a long time. This is not just a test of patience or of will, but of Jesus' identity. Anyone can be nice for a little while. We can mind our manners for a few minutes. We can bite our tongue for the moment with the in-laws just over dinner. She better not say another word, though. But when trouble not only comes but stays the night, rents a U-Haul and then moves in, it tests our character. We may be able to manage when our authority is questioned the first time. We could stomach one instance where our leadership is undermined. But how many of us can play nice for 40 days? Oh, yeah. But you the pastor, 40 days of the devil playing like he doesn't know any better. 40 days of condescension, manipulation, and lies. 40 days of fasting and Jesus doesn't get hangry. 40 days of assaults on Jesus' character, purpose, and values. 40 days of picking, poking, prodding, looking for the holes in Jesus' story. What's your name again? Oh, I thought you were Jesus. I thought you could take it. Because whatever Jesus came to do, it's not good enough. No, the devil demands Jesus to serve up warm dinner rolls as an appetizer. Before the big show, before he bows out and bows down to the devil, before his acrobatic display of omnipotence, Satan wants Jesus to perform as if Jesus has something to prove. The devil clearly does not take our salvation seriously and is playing with God. And the devil is keeping a list and checking it twice. He has crossed off two attempts to break Jesus. It's strike two for him. Two times Jesus offers scripture for his defense, and this time Satan turns a page from the holy book. Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your feet against a stone. The devil is using scripture as a paternity test. If you are the Son of God, then you should be able to do this. Shakespeare noted, the devil can cite scripture for his purpose. Don't be deceived. If you are God's son, then jump. And he wants to tell Jesus how high. God will send angels to act as your safety net. The devil is double dog daring Jesus to prove his divinity. Satan wants Jesus to make a believer out of him. Worse still, Satan is testing God. If you are who you say you are, then do what I say. If Jesus had agreed, this would be divinity expressed on demonic terms. Yeah. But the devil can't make Jesus do it. And Jesus is God with us. Jesus is the Son of God because he is present, not based on his ability to perform. And therein lies the lesson for us who say, God, if you are real, God, if you can hear me, God, if you love me, when we suggest that God perform, that God not jump off the temple, but jump through just a few hoops, and then we'll believe your God. We're testing God too. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I invite you now to prepare your hearts to receive Stephanie Willette as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm wearing her stole right now, but she's gonna wear it in a minute. When I was being ordained, I sang, and I regret it now because you don't know where the Lord is going to take you, but I sang, where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, grandmother would say, all the way. I felt it almost started crying. All the way. The call to Christ's ministry is recognized, affirmed, and the covenant made between the minister and the congregation in the presence of God. Preaching is how God gets the word out. That the eternal word can be held in human lips and shared with a human tongue is one of the great mysteries of the faith. That the God who spoke the world into existence gives human beings the opportunity to bear witness, the hands of those who would receive the message to pass it along to others are bound, chained to the gospel, according to the Apostle Paul. Today we offer Stephanie Ouellette as servant and living sacrifice in response to the call and in obedience to the faith. Deacon Ray, would you come and share scripture?
Stephanie, you are a person of the highest character, and I'm honored to be a part of the ceremony. This scripture is Luke 4, 16 through 20, the rejection of Jesus at Nazareth. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and as was his custom, he stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Romans 10, 11 through 15. The scripture says, "No one who believes in him will be put to shame. And there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." Amen, amen.
That's so good. A prayer of consecration. A loquacious God, who spoke the world and its witnesses into existence, we have gathered to bear witness to your voice and its calling of our dear sister, Stephanie Ouellette. You've called her out. Do now set her aside for your sacred work and to follow in the way of Christ, who suffered for the salvation of our souls. Anoint her now with the gifts and graces needed as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but only and always for your glory. In the name of our brother and our son, Jesus, I pray. Amen. Servant of God, Stephanie Ouellette, please come forward as a sign of consent to the ministry of Jesus Christ. Stand facing this pulpit. Are you persuaded that God has called you to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, to serve his church, which is his body, and to enter his ministry as a faithful witness of his good news?
With God's grace, I will.
Stephanie Ouellette, do you now declare anew your trust in Holy Scripture, your need for the comfort and counsel of the Holy Spirit, your faith in Jesus Christ, and your desire to serve him in word and in deed to the glory of God, wherever it takes you, for as long as you live?
With God's grace, I will.
Do you vow to be diligent in personal worship, private study and prayer, to serve the members of this fellowship unconditionally and with impartiality, to labor in love, and to linger in the hope of the kingdom of God.
With God's grace, I will.
Do you renounce the broad ways of this world, its craftiness and deceit, and accept the narrow way of Christ, its cross and convictions, in order to fit into the kingdom of God?
With God's grace, I do.
Do you now receive the Holy Scriptures as the message you must carry from house to house and heart to heart as a minister of the gospel?
With God's grace, I do.
Because no minister is called alone to bear witness to the life and ministry of Jesus Christ, I would ask the members of Village Baptist Church to stand in support of Stephanie Ouellette as a minister of the gospel. Please respond in affirmation of the following vow: by God's grace, we do. As members of the priesthood of believers, this church has a role to play in service to the word of God and in support of this minister. Do you support the call of Stephanie Ouellette to the ministry of Jesus Christ, to preach his gospel, to share in his sufferings, to offer his healing, and extend his peace as a minister of reconciliation? By God's grace, we do. Hearing these vows, we do now present Stephanie Ouellette to God and to this congregation as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and do now affirm her voice and God's vision for her life. You may be seated. You're going to turn facing them. As Christ was bound, we bind your hands now. You are now yoked with Christ as his student and his servant. He will not turn you loose, and there's no turning back. For Jesus declares, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom. Minister Stephanie Ouellette, we offer the blessing of peace and provision as you set out to proclaim the liberating and long-winded word of the living God. We do now send you out to share God's love, the grace of God made evident in Jesus Christ, and the compassion of the Holy Spirit. Amen.